The title of the sermon today, four letter words. And yes, it is part, kind of starting off one direction and then going another way. We as Christians, and I guess there's some bad words that we can use that aren't necessarily four letter, but as Daryl read in our scripture reading today, one of the things Paul was emphasizing was our speech. And this might be a good separate lesson, the way we talk, how we talk, how we present the gospel, how we conduct ourselves verbally. That is one of the first impressions we make upon somebody, is how we speak. The things that come out of our mouth, in a lot of ways, is many people's first impression of us. And the scripture that Daryl read earlier, Colossians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, Paul says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside of the body. Walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. We've got time to make an impression on somebody.
Amen.
And he goes, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. There is a wealth, and I tell you, this might have to be a whole separate sermon down the road. Okay? But how we speak, the language, the way we speak to people are very important. In Exodus chapter 20, we see, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. We see that in the world quite often, where people will be taking the Lord's name, using it in anger, using it in disgust, using it in improper ways. The way that our Lord should be discussed is in reverence and awe, in respect and in love. To preach the gospel, not like this warning. In Matthew, the night that Jesus was arrested, and during Peter's denial, it is portrayed that the way Peter was talking was one of the ways that gave himself away. And this is during that interchange between Peter and the people around there. It says, and a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Not only possibly what he was saying, but the accent of being Galilean and so forth betrays you, that you're one of them. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And then the cock crowed, and Peter had realized what he had done. But the speech, how we talk. Now, we can't do anything about accents. We, you know, I guess we can try to hide an accent. That's not so much what I was talking about. But to show that he wasn't a follower of Christ, he began cursing and swearing, portraying himself in that way. Like I said, we're starting out this way, but cutting back against the grain. This will be the makings of a good sermon down the road. There's a lot of words, and we're not going to necessarily count letters of things that we can and cannot say as Christians. There's a lot of things we shouldn't say that aren't necessarily four-letter words. There's a lot of four-letter words, though, out there, and they're kind of known as the four-letter words that we shouldn't say. But there's some words as Christians we tend to kind of be scared of and avoid. That we kind of see some words as four-letter words to us. And one of those is give. When the preacher gets up and starts, people, I'm hearing it, I got to give more. No, that's not what this sermon's about. I have the greatest job on the face of the earth because I'm not preaching to feed myself. You're going to get only the gospel from me. I won't compromise. I will not yield when it comes to the truth to keep a job. So I got the greatest job in the world. Not one of those preachers that need you to give so I can keep my job. Giving is for God. Giving benefits the giver too. Some people see give as a four-letter word. But they see it as a four-letter word. I don't want to hear it about giving again. We need to give our money, our time, our talents. There are, every one of us has something that we can contribute to the kingdom. Every one of us has something that we can contribute and give to this congregation, to God. Well, I can't get up and deliver a sermon. Nobody's asking you to. Well, I do ask you. I do ask you for Sunday nights and teaching classes and stuff. I do ask you. But we're not making you. There's a lot more to do than getting up and delivering a lesson to give to God. Every one of you give. I'm asking you to give more. God's asking you to give more, not me. I'm just reading the mail. Okay, I didn't write it. I just try to tell you what God said. To give our money, our time, our talents, our abilities, our attitudes. We need to give to God. In 1 Corinthians, this is talking about money. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week." That's why we incorporate our contribution when we come together to worship. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. This was to the Corinthians about taking up a collection for the people in need at that time. It applies to us as much as it does to the Corinthians at that time. We come together on the first day of the week to assemble, to worship God. And we take up a collection also. In Philippians, Paul is talking about this collection. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. When we give of our money, which we just did recently in our service, it benefits us. It benefits us, like it says, to it abounds to your account that you've done this. But it also helps those that it's being given to. When we give of our money, one, we're letting go and giving to God. We're letting go of that hard-earned money that the world fights so hard to keep and to grasp onto. We're letting it go. But also, when we think about what we're doing, we're aiding other Christians. The gospel is being spread today in various parts of the world because of you. The money, the missionaries that we support and help support goes to help furthering the spread of the gospel. Aiding, we support that Churches of Christ Disaster Relief Fund, helping other Christians who have been devastated by hurricanes, earthquakes, etc. Helping other Christians, and it is a sweet-smelling aroma sacrifice to God. Give is not a bad word. In Galatians 1, we see what Christ gave. I don't know if any of us can gripe that we've given too much unless we want to start comparing what we've given compared to Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. He gave all for us. And the portion that we give to God is nothing compared to what Jesus gave. Another four-letter word that we sometimes have a problem with is duty. A quote that I really like is, "Duty is the most sacred word in the English language. One can do no more and should strive to do no less." A lot of people, don't be telling me what I ought to be doing. Don't, you know, who are you to tell me? Jesus. Luke 17:10. "So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" It is our duty to follow the commandments. And sometimes it's easy as an American to confuse rights and freedom and liberty with, "You can't tell me what to do." We have a duty to serve Christ. We have a duty to give of ourselves. And Jesus says, when we've done those things that we've been commanded, you're only doing what Jesus had commanded. And it was our duty to do that. In John 3:16 and 17, I think the things we do in our duty is well worth it because of what was done for us. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
And when we do our duty, and when we keep the commandments of God and the commandments that Jesus gave, more has been given for us. Colossians 3, verse 17 and verse 23, says, Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. That is our duty. To do it for God. Not to be seen by men. Not for that pat on the back. Not for that lip service that we might get. It is for God. And the last one of this, Solomon, the end of his life, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all.
Amen.
This is the whole duty of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. The last four-letter word I'd like for us to look at today is love. Love of God, love of ourself, love of others. This could be a whole series of lessons right here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, for you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Not leftovers, not the after you get done, what do you have left? Love God with all of your strength. That's the way He wants it. That's the way He demands it. John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. A lot of people go around the world today, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Are you keeping His commandments? Oh, but I love Jesus. But yet you don't do the things that Jesus wants you to do. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Kind of going back to that duty. Matthew 5, starting verse 43, it says, for you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? We're told to love in an unyielding, undemanding, bottomless cup of love. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are the household of faith. You show your love by doing. By doing. And 1 Corinthians 13, we sometimes call this the love chapter because it talks about love. Paul really displays an understanding of true and explains the true love that he's wanting to get across here. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I am nothing. If I can do all of that stuff, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Wow. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We've had some four-letter words. I left out give. Give, duty, and love. We shouldn't be scared of them as Christians. We should try to live up to the expectations that God the Father has on us involving those. Started out kind of one direction because words are powerful. Bad language is powerful. Good language is powerful. But a lot of times we hear we think about four-letter words. Let's not let these be four-letter words to us. If you need to respond to the invitation, if I know the majority of us in here are Christians, we've put our Lord on in baptism, we've been covered with His blood, and are forgiven of our sins. If you have not been baptized for forgiveness of your sins, we have the opportunity to do so today. If you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need for us to go to God on behalf of you in prayer, we will be glad to. If you need to repent of sin, if you've been baptized, but you're still dragging around sin in your life, put it off. Cast off that sin. Repent of your sins and walk in the light. If you have been looking for a church home, if you've moved here and have looked at a few congregations of the Lord's body and would like to identify with us, we would love to have you. We would love to get to know you and work with you in the kingdom. Whatever your need, if you have a need to respond to the invitation, please come forward. And while Curtis leads us in the invitation song, let us stand and sing.